I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was flipping through a magazine recently, and I came across an ad for Airbnb, which is a company that advertises privately owned rooms or even whole houses that travelers can rent if you need a place to stay. So you can pay to stay in someone's home anywhere in the world. And the tagline to the ad said, "Airbnb, belong anywhere." And my first response to this was, really? Belong anywhere? All I have to do is just sign up, rent a room in a beautiful apartment in Paris, and go there, and then I just suddenly belong in that community? Is that really all it takes? It's an incredible phrase, belong anywhere. It's actually kind of an effective ad, because it strikes at the heart of what matters most to us. We all want to belong. And there's no experience quite like the feeling of not belonging, of being an outsider. If you travel a lot, whether out of the country or even here in the States, you know that feeling. You feel alone, adrift, cut off. And there's a deep desire in all of us to avoid that sinking feeling of not belonging. It happens at home, too. Maybe it's at a party where you only know the host. You walk into the room and you scan the faces and you try to find someone who knows you. And if you don't find anyone, you suddenly feel like an outsider. You long for someone to see you, to recognize you. Maybe it's at a school function that you're required to attend for your child. Maybe it's at church. This happens a lot in churches. I still remember this incredibly visceral feeling of sitting in an Episcopal church for the first time. And I remember sitting in the pew and thinking, I do not belong here. Which is a funny story. Tell you later how that all turned out. Turned out it did belong. But that was my initial reaction. No one here knows me. No one sees me. I don't belong. And all communities have their expectations, and if you don't know them, you can feel like an outsider. At the core of all of us is a desire to feel safe, like we can relax, we can be ourselves, we can feel at home where we are. So, what does it take for a person to really belong? What invites belonging? For some communities, belonging is about meeting expectations by following unspoken rules. And this is just rampant in our world right now, from wearing the right clothes to having the right degree, having the right connections. There are hidden expectations everywhere. These are the boundaries of belonging. And it's getting worse in our country right now because this is an election year. And political parties tend to bring out those strong urges in us for boundaries in community. All this debate about candidates and issues, it really ramps up our need to draw a line in the sand. I'm right, and you over there are wrong, and that's how it is. And we use that kind of rule following as a way to describe who's good and right, and who's wrong and on the outside. So the same was true in Jesus's day. Ancient Israel was a place of rule following and rule shaming. There were political parties, just like now, and just like now, various philosophies that were behind them, and with a mix of good and bad intentions. And one of these political parties was the Pharisees. Much like the Republicans and Democrats of our own day, the Pharisees had a political agenda. They were interested in protecting the most sacred things to God by maintaining old established ways. And Pharisees were really very faithful people. They wanted to follow God. They did a lot of good things for their community. They never wanted to be made to follow the laws of any other nation, and they never wanted to have to take on the culture of other communities like the Greeks. Pharisees wanted to be separate, and they wanted that Mosaic law to be interpreted in a specific way. And those who didn't follow the law correctly were seen as outside the community, as sinners. Today, our gospel lesson from Luke opens in the midst of a public debate about whether or not Jesus and John the Baptist are following all the rules. And at the conclusion of this debate, a Pharisee named Simon invites Jesus to dinner. And you can substitute that word Pharisee for whatever political party of your own. Simon the Republican, Simon the Democrat. Just suffice to say, someone with a partisan perspective has invited Jesus to dinner. And regardless of his motivation for doing so, we can't deny that politics were in the room with Jesus that night. And you even get a sense that Simon kind of wanted to size Jesus up. He wanted to see whether or not Jesus was going to follow his particular party line. And really see, does Jesus care about all of the sacred things of God that I care about? And then a stranger enters. She's not an invited guest. She is a total outsider. She does not belong. And not only because she wasn't invited to the dinner party, but because she was known in town for being a notorious sinner. This woman did not have the luxury of belonging. And she enters the room and she completely interrupts the party with her tears. And then goes on to commit this indecent act of letting down her hair in public and touching a man's feet. Without explaining a thing, she proceeds to wash Jesus's feet and anoint them with oil. It's one of those moments in Scripture when everything stands still and all the eyes in the room just turn to Jesus and everybody's asking, what is he gonna do? Simon rolls his eyes at her acts of hospitality. It's kind of embarrassing for him to witness. He refers to her silently as that kind of woman. Doesn't Jesus know who is touching him? It's that kind of woman. She's a sinner. That kind of woman. That's a phrase that's used even in our day, isn't it? It's a very judgmental and cheapening phrase. It turns that person into nothing more than the worst thing that they've ever done. It forces her to occupy a space that's lower than the rest of the world, a person who is lesser, that kind of woman. She doesn't belong. And I don't think that Simon is just simply being mean here. Simon's ideas about belonging, they're totally wrapped up in morality, in goodness, and God's goodness, and right and wrong, and this woman is just wrong. And so he wants Jesus to recognize what it is that she is asking of him, that there's this tension in the room of her sin and her desire to belong, and Simon wants to hold up those laws that would keep her out. Jesus' reaction, though, is not to keep her out. He doesn't condemn her. He turns the question back to Simon, and he challenges him with a singular and a disarming question. Do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? Do you see her vulnerability, her willingness to serve, her acts of love, her tenderness? Or do you just see an outsider, an embarrassment, some woman who doesn't even know she doesn't belong? She's so wrapped up in her sin. Do you see this woman? That is a question that invites belonging. Jesus' challenge to Simon interrupts his thinking that the only way to belong to a community is to follow the rules. And Simon doesn't really know anything about her. He just sees a little glimpse of her life, and he immediately labels her as an outsider, as a sinner. And Jesus is pushing Simon to consider that the most important label for this woman is not sinner or outsider, but forgiven, beloved. Her belonging isn't wrapped up in her rule following. It isn't even wrapped up in the community. Her belonging is wrapped up in God. This woman belongs to God. Do we see this woman? The question is for us too. Who are we refusing to see? Do we see the woman on the playground who's trying to corral her children and manage their chaos? Or are we too wrapped up in the rules of whether or not her children are quiet and polite? Do we see the man who has come to church ready to experience God? Or are we too distracted by his Target sweatpants and his inability to follow along in the prayer book? Do we see people? Or are we just too focused on following the rules? The challenge for us today is to consider that we are all as much like Simon as we are the uninvited woman. We must look closer at the parts of ourselves that resist forgiveness and relationship with other people. Have we been putting our rule following above relationship? When have we refused to see the woman sitting in front of us? When have we denied others the benefit of belonging to our community, to our church, to our own inner circles? We all belong in Jesus Christ. Jesus says to this woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That woman who moments before did not belong has been restored. She now finds healing in Jesus' forgiveness. She's released from her isolation, and she's given a new life. And so we too are offered that same kind of healing relationship every time that we present ourselves to Jesus. So is that mother on the playground. So is that distracted worshiper in the pew. So is the Trump supporter. So is the Hillary voter. So is the uninvited dinner guest. And when we grasp this truth, we who once participated in a system of insiders and outsiders are freed. We don't have to worry about whether or not we belong or everyone else belongs, or whether we're right and they're wrong, or they're right and we're wrong. We're freed. We're freed to trust that Jesus' love, it makes us all whole. It makes us all new again. We're given the freedom to be at home, to be fully ourselves, wherever we are, just held in God's goodness. We're freed to trust that In the kingdom of God, all of us, we too can belong anywhere. Amen.